Amen. Let's go to Mark chapter 9 and 19 and verse 24. I've hit all around this subject matter, mentioned a few scriptures, but I've never put it together in a message, and I'm going to do my best, like I said, to either help you. It's not heaven or hell whether you understand this tonight or not. It's just a lesson. Mark 9 and 19, Jesus answered him, the man that had the lunatic son, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. He answered him, and he said, faithless, not a faithless father. He wasn't really talking to him. If you read ahead of this, you would find he was talking to the Sadducees, who were there to find fault with him. That's who he was calling faithless. But then, by the time we get down to verse 24, he's asking him if you believe. He said, straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And what I want to teach on tonight is faith, the unbelievable story. Faith, the unbelievable story. I'm going to put the emphasis, the unbelievable story. Let's pray. God, I'm thankful again for this opportunity we have for right here on this little piece of real estate that's owned by you, it's controlled by you, it's run by you. Everything we've got here is for you. And so, God, we want to learn more about you tonight, learn more about your faith, faith in you, and the love that you had towards us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Faith is probably one of the most preached on things that preachers preach about, and yet it's a substance you can't see. But we can preach about it and scrunch up our face and faith and say, if you had more faith, you would have. And many times you've heard people say, y'all pray for me that I'll have more faith because he hasn't healed me yet. And so we're praying that you have more faith so you can get healed. And sometimes I think we've misunderstood the whole principle behind faith. And so tonight I want to endeavor to look at it a little bit different than perhaps we always have. When we look at three facets of faith, number one, there are those that have no faith. He said faithless. That's what he called them, faithless, meaning you have no faith. And then we find a term he used quite often. Matthew wrote it like several times in different settings. He said little faith. So we start getting in our mind about this measure of faith that he's given to us and how great is your faith. So we see that there is no faith. We talk about little faith and we talk about great faith. And so I want to cover that whole spectrum here tonight as best I can with the time I have. And because we measure faith by results. That's what we do. If something happens, oh, he had great faith. And so I'm here to say that it's not really based upon results as your faith. Sometimes as with Paul, who had such great faith, yet the Lord told him one place, my grace is sufficient. Quit praying about that. Let that faith go away. I'm not going to heal you with that. You pray all you want to, have all the faith you want to, but I'm the one to let you have that you might be buffeted. So sometimes you have to know when it's time to move on. And sometimes God shuts a door, and the last thing I want to do is stand behind a door that God shut because no man can open it. And so we pray, and we pray, we had prayer list up there, but but we never pray for the dead to rise. We pray until they die. And when they die, we quit praying. Because we see it is over. And your faith goes to no faith. You know? Oh, I have faith God's going to heal you. And there's been people that I've known that were sick and they got word from preachers all over the country. The Lord told me you're going to live and surely not die. And they died anyway. And you have to be careful when you... Because Jesus said, how shall we know a false prophet from a truth prophet? He said, if what they say comes to pass, they're true. If it's not, they're false. So you have to be careful when you step out in faith on someone else's. You see, when you step out in faith, I have faith. Well, you got to have some faith too. So my faith is depending on what he does. If you don't have faith for yourself, you're on your own. But we quit praying when somebody dies, but because we see that is over. But that's not what Jesus did. Oh, no. No, he rose people from the dead. And he looked at Martha and said, you don't have faith, he's going to live. Oh, yeah, in the resurrection, he's going to, that's my faith is there. He said, no, your faith needs to be here. I am the resurrection. So we have, back to my sermon tonight, we need to have faith in him, that through him we can do all things. And so, one extreme, you have no faith. Another extreme, you have great faith. And somewhere's in between, the small, medium, and how's your faith? How much faith do you have? And we base it upon results. And it's not, we shouldn't do that. What we need to know is this. This is what we need to know. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's what we know. How great it is, I'm going to show you, has nothing to do whether you're saved or lost. But you cannot be saved with no faith. The faithless generation cannot be saved. He said, you must believe that I am he or you die in your sins. You have to believe that Jesus Christ was God incarnate who died for the sins of the world. And you first believe in him and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks him. And so the faith that you need is not whether or not he heals you of everything that happens or whether he doesn't and you have enough faith or you don't have enough faith. What you have to have faith in is the diligence to continue to seek him, for he rewards those that diligently seek him. And so we know the scriptures that says we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence is not seen. For through that, the elders obtained a good report. You know, but once they saw that promised land, it was over. Once you see, Paul said, once you see what you hope for, why then have faith for it? Why would you pray for something to come that you already have? You have faith until you see it. And when you see it, then faith is gone. So we go from faith to faith. Find something else to believe for. And so on the faithless side of things, we see that there was a generation. He talked about that generation. There's always a faithless generation. I don't care where you go, 30 years from now, 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, there will always be a faithless generation in a God that can do everything. And even though people have seen the miracles of God, they still don't want to believe. Now, I want to show you, let's look in Deuteronomy 32 and 18. I want to show you how far back this faithless generation goes. In 32 and 18, he says, of the rock, that's capital, that's Christ, that begat thee, thou art not mindful. Well, you remember what came out of the rock? Water. Water. And hast forgotten God that formed thee. Did you forget the miracle that I did when I turned the rock, went into water, and the Red Sea opened, and the manna has come down? And you're not mindful of those things. And when the Lord saw it, he had abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a froward generation, and children of whom are no faith. I don't know how to say this. They're like, he said, this untoward generation. There's always this generation that is this froward generation. And they're also forward looking as well, even though that's not what that word says. They were forward looking. What you did for me yesterday does not matter. What are you going to do for me tomorrow? And we have a generation that's like that. They're seeking all the miracles of God, but they're never really thankful for what he did yesterday. And until we become mindful and thankful for what he did yesterday, why would he do anything for you tomorrow? And so he called this generation, they have no faith. They were a faithless generation. And so this generation that Jesus was referring to when this man had the lunatic son was not the man and not the son and not the disciples. It was the scribes that come to question him about his deity. And he said, you're a faithless generation. How long will I suffer you that have no faith? And so he asked this man, do you believe? And he says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. He said, all things are possible to them that believe. So this brings me to this unbelievable story of faith. And so he's saying, on one hand, I believe, but on the other hand, I doubt that it's going to happen for me. Someone told me about a football game recently. I won't mention any names, but a football game. The Miami Hurricanes were playing some other team, and there was 4 seconds left. And they were receiving the ball, and the only way they could win was to make a touchdown. And so, was it 4 seconds or 6 seconds? I'm sorry, I won't tell y'all who it was. Was it 4 seconds or six? 4 seconds, okay. And I want to make sure I'm not a false prophet or anything. And so they kick the ball off, and it's like, there's no way. There's just no way. I mean, they got to return it all the way for a touchdown, and they started what's called a lateral. A lateral in football is you have to throw it backwards to a guy. You can't throw forward. You can only throw backwards. And they lateraled 8 times. 8 times. And so I watched that YouTube probably 8 times. And it was just like, hey, you got to be kidding me. And so the announcer is announcing it. He's like lackadaisical. Well, they, you know, this looks like this. They're going to lose this game, blah, blah, blah. And it's like they say, well, you know, he throws it to that guy, you know, and he started getting more emotional into it. And after a while, he says, he has blockers. There's nobody between him and the goal line. He's going to score. It's unbelievable. And he said, can you believe what you just saw? Well, I don't have to believe it anymore. I just saw it. But that's the words he used. This is unbelievable. Can you believe what? But when it started off, if I'd have said, brother, do you think they're going to make that touchdown? You'd say, I doubt it, but it's possible. I believe, but help my unbelief. That's where we're all at, right? He's going to heal, but it's, you know, I heard of others, but I. And so this touchdown goes. It gets replayed, and everybody's watching this play over and over and over again. And it, you know what? Next time, I'm gonna believe a little bit more that that can happen because I've seen it happen before. And the more you see it happen, now listen, this is gonna mess your mind up. The more I see it happen, the less faith I need to believe it. You see, that's where y'all going to mess y'all up. Because the more I see that happen, the less faith I have to believe that that could happen. Because now, I've seen it 3 times now. Yeah, they're probably going to make it. And before long, we call this building our faith. But I want to show you it's actually less faith. Because it's more reality now. We walk by faith, but after a while, faith got to vanish. It needs to, sooner or later, we go again from faith to faith. And so I want to teach you about what we call building our faith was really not building our faith. It's like a child, you know, a child, you get a 3-year-old up here, and such is the kingdom of heaven. We call that childlike faith. And you say, Johnny, the moon went away. It's never going to be here again. It won't be out tomorrow. You say, okay. That's fine. I believe you. Didn't require anything other than the word. You hear what I'm saying? Only the word, only. That's pretty good faith. Because if you told me that, I'd say, you're crazy. You're crazy. Prove it. You see, I want to do those things. And so we talk about building our faith, and like, I have confidence. I have faith in Sister Ray now, and I don't mind telling her or this church, I have confidence in this lady. I have faith in her that she's a Christian. She's going to live like a Christian. She's going to do the honest thing and all this kind of stuff. But when she first came, I had to build my faith. But was that really building my faith? The greatest faith I would have to believe her without any of all of that, now that I know you, now that you've been here, 6 years? Longer? How many? Almost 10? Wow. You see, I have more faith now. You see, actually, what happens is the more I know her and the more I got to know her and as faithful she would be, it required less faith because she's actually proven herself. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. I have seen her prove herself. So what I want to do is go from faith to faith. I don't want to get stuck always having to believe. So we have confidence in one another because we have proven to each other. Well, yeah, I got more faith in him now than I used to. Or, boy, he's blown my trust. You see? I have no confidence in him whatsoever. And so when we look in the Bible, there's a Gentile man who is a soldier of the Italian band, and he's not even of the household of faith. He's a Gentile man. He's not of the seed of Abraham. He, no doubt, had just heard of Jesus, like the woman with the issue of blood did, who heard. She did not say, oh, I saw him do this, I saw him do that. No, it didn't say that she saw any miracles. She just heard, but within herself, she said, if I can but touch him, that's great faith. That's great faith. So that this man, this centurion man, he has a servant that's sick, and he wants him well, and he comes to Jesus and he says, I'm a man in authority and I have people under me and blah, blah, blah. And he said, if you'll just speak the word only, my servant will be made whole. And the Lord said, no, I'll come to your house. He said, no, just speak the word only. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. He was a Gentile man. And here's what the Lord said. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said to them that followed, these the ones that had seen all the miracles. See, they ought to have had real great faith, right? Because they've seen all these miracles. Just the opposite. He said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel, not in you either. This is the greatest faith I've found in the household of faith. That's what Israel was, the household of faith. This is the greatest faith in a man that's not even of the household of faith has this faith. Just say the word and my servant will be made whole. And he was. And he was. And the Lord called this great faith. And he commended him to others about his faith. And he only heard the word. He only said, just speak the word. This man said, I am a man under authority. I say this and they do that. He understood the word. Faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing what? The word. And so increasing your faith is not about seeing it. It's not about seeing 10 miracles and, oh, now I have faith. No, you don't. Faith is when you hear it. And you believe it. That's the people that actually see the great miracles. Ah, am I getting through to y'all a little bit maybe? Okay, because I don't want y'all messed up. Even with Philip, he told Philip, you believe because you see. But more blessed are those that believe and have not seen. So we do talk about levels of faith, you see. But sight destroys faith. Vision and dreams is where faith is really at. But when you see it, it's over with. When Joseph said, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good, that dream was over. It's over. But it took great faith in the beginning to get there. All right. So when we have faith in each other, it's always based upon proof. You know, we have to prove each other that we're going to be faithful. And once we prove ourselves, then I have faith in him. But really, with God, what he's looking for is you to have faith with him without the proof. He even told Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. Out of your loins are going to come kings and you're going to have a son, so forth. And you know what Abraham said? And I'm not saying I have more faith than him, quote unquote. What I'm saying is, he said, how shall I know? How shall I know? See, even he wanted some kind of proof. He wanted some kind of sign to believe in. Because I can't believe that. You see, are you understanding what I'm saying? I can't believe that. So give me something I can believe in until that appears. Give me something I can see until I receive what I can't see. So he said, step out here. Look at the stars. Look at the sand. Now, do you believe me? Well, yeah, because I see this. But the real great faith was just say, okay, Lord. Hallelujah. He said an evil and adulterous generation wants a sign. That's what those Sadducees and all there. Give us a sign. Give us a sign. Because they wanted to believe in the sign, which destroys the faith. Am I teaching you something? It destroys the faith. The sign follows them that believe. It doesn't lead those that believe. It follows those that believe. And so let's look a little bit deeper. At faith, the unbelievable story is this. You can't muster up enough faith on every situation in your life. You can't. And when you think you're going to have this great faith that we call great faith, you're going to find faith can turn to failure. And you're wondering why God didn't help you out and bail you out when you believed it was going to happen, it was going to happen, and it didn't happen. What we need to believe is that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks Him. But when we preach these nice sermons about, if you had faith, had a grain of mustard, I don't want to do that. See, and we get all into that, and we get you hyped up about this faith as a grain of mustard seed. You say to this mountain, be thou removed, and cast it to the sea, and it will obey thee. Now, how many of y'all ever removed a mountain? Not even the person saying it has ever removed a mountain. So we build up this false faith that what we say is going to happen. That's not what he was really projecting there. I'm going to show you and prove this to you in just a minute. So, after the disciples witnessing the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, they get on a boat and they're going to go to the other side. They have just seen, you know, they went through the process of should we send them home? We don't have enough money and we're in a desert place and, you know, all of that. And, well, we have a lad that has 2 fishes and 5 loaves, but what's that among so many? You know, there doesn't seem to be a lot of faith there. And Jesus says, have them sit down in companies of 50, and I will dispense to you, and you dispense to them. And you know the story. He prayed and broke bread, and he fed the 5,000, and they picked up a 12 basket full of fragments. Boy, that ought to, what we say, increase our faith, right? That ought to increase your faith. When you see something like that, it ought to increase it. Okay? They go from right there, and he says, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. And as they go to the other side, they run across a great tempest, and so that they could not, it was contrary to them, and they're doing everything they can, but they're still going down. The ship is still going down. And on the water comes another miracle. There is a man walking on the water. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. Supposing it was a spirit. It was. Lord, is that you? That's Peter, you know, the bold one. The rest of them are hiding. He said, Lord, is that you? He said, it is I. Nah, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Did you hear what I'm saying? I don't believe that. He just saw. See, if this is going to build your faith up, where are you at? He just saw them feed 5,000. Where's this great faith at? And so he says, hey, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. Whew, come. might not should have said that. And so he gets out on the water and begins to walk. And I've said this before. I don't think Jesus was going up and down with the waves. It was slick where he was at. And I think it was slick where Peter was at. But when he saw the winds boisterous and the waves, it didn't say when he felt the wind, when he saw and heard the wind, he began to sink. And immediately he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately the Lord reached down and brought him into the boat. Watch verse 31 of Matthew 14. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, why didst thou doubt? And he goes on to tell him, did you not consider the fishes and the loaves? Did you not think about that I just fed 5,000? So if all this is going to build your faith, why don't we believe more then? So we see on one hand we have a centurion who sees no, I'm assuming, he sees no mighty works of healings and raising the dead and the walking on the water. He doesn't see any of that. But he says, speak the word only. He says, no greater faith have I seen. No, not in all of Israel or you guys either. And then we have the disciples who've seen everything from the first miracle, the turning the water to wine, to all the way through here. And then he says, your little faith. Now you go grab that and run with it. What happens is that when you see things, it should take less faith and not more faith. When you don't see it is when it takes great faith because I've never seen this way before. I've never seen this before. Now, I'm not condemning anybody, and that's what we need to understand in this message tonight. I'm not condemning you whether you have little faith or great faith. I'm condemning you who have no faith. Because faith alone will not save you, just as works alone will not save you. And so, sometimes I'm afraid that we want to see, people will go chase them signs, wonders, and miracles. They'll go chase them. But I read my Bible, it said, lo, when he says, I'm over here, believe him not. Lo, I'm over there, believe him not. I'm in the desert, believe him not. I'm in the city, believe him not. He said, I'm with you. You can have the signs, wonders, and miracles yourself. You don't need to have that. I'm not saying some of it's not real. So, we get caught up too many times in the works of faith, which is not salvation. The most important thing I preach is being saved. That's the most important thing. And every one of us have this measure of faith. And it's what you do with it. You may have, as we quote unquote say, greater faith, less faith. I'm through with that. I have faith. Because you're going to disappoint yourself and hurt yourself, and you're going to condemn others if you start measuring faith. Just say, I have faith. It's up to him. I believe that he can do all things, right? Amen. And so I'm afraid I don't want to preach condemnation on people because of the lack of what we call faith. When I'm afraid many sermons have been preached, they didn't even understand faith themselves. And we have misinterpreted what Christ has said about having faith the grain of mustard seed. You could say this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. He didn't say you'll be saved if you can do that. That's not what he said. But I will talk to you about what it takes to be saved. Faith, the unbelievable story of faith, is not based on how much faith you have. It's based on how much love you have. As we turn to 1 Corinthians 13 and 1, they've come tonight. Because we get caught up, people get so caught up in these gifts that we forget the giver. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, this is the first letter he writes to this church because they were so caught up in all these spiritual gifts. In other places he says, one has a song, one's got a dance, one's got a testimony, one's got a this, one's got a that. And he finally said, look, he even said this, it's not because he was condemning women, but he said, because of so much of this, if you have a husband, he said, you need to learn what you're going to learn from them at home because we don't have time for all these voices. So if the husband's the head of the house, he said, if you have a husband, if you got any questions, ask him. That's why he said that. It wasn't because he was anti-women, because there was actually prophetess that was used in the Bible, Deborah being one of them. And so I read this to you tonight, and I read this from time to time for myself because it brings me many times to tears. And it brings conviction on me. Sometimes we think only sinners need conviction. That is so wrong. Saints need as much conviction as sinners do. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become, he's going to say, worthless, useless, as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, boy, I'll tell you, if you're a prophet, you're noticed, right? But though I had that gift and understand all mysteries, and I have all knowledge, now watch real close, and though I have all faith, not just great faith, brother, I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, and have not charity, I am a zero. And we've put so much emphasis on faith. If you just had more faith, you need more faith. And we didn't put enough emphasis on love and charity. The most unbelievable story. It's just like the guy says, "Can you believe this?" When I think of Christ on a cross, I go, "Can you believe this? I never would have thought that a man, and not only that, a God, would take on flesh and die for me." It's the most unbelievable story in the Bible. It's unbelievable. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor," you got a lot of good works. "And though I give my body to be burned, give it to science, that's fine. Give it to LSU, that's fine. But if I don't have charity, it profiteth me nothing." Now, here's where it gets to me. Charity suffereth long. It doesn't say faith suffereth long. It doesn't suffer anything. Faith, charity is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, doesn't project itself, and it's not puffed up either. I better keep on reading. People get puffed up, didn't ask me, puffed up. Charity does not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. It's not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Here's a tough one. Charity beareth all things. I don't know what you may be going through tonight, but love will take you through it. Faith won't take you through it. You can have faith to move a mountain. It's not going to take you through it. Love will take you through it. It believeth all things. It has faith. It hopeth all things. It endureth all things. All things. Charity, though, never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And now abideth faith, hope. These two are together. They're brothers, they're twin sisters and brothers. They're twins. If you can't have one without the other. But he's letting us know you can have faith and hope and no charity. Did you see that in the scriptures? You can have all this faith to do all these things, and if you don't have charity. So he said, faith and hope and charity, these three abide, but the greatest of these is charity. Faith, the most unbelievable story, is love. That God so loved man that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever loved him, not had faith in him, but loved him. He loved us. He said, as you love me, love as I love you, love one another. And by this shall you know that all men know that you're my disciples. And so tonight, if you're feeling down, I'm here to tell you, faith won't lift you up. Faith will hurt you sometimes. It will condemn you. It'll make you feel like, what's wrong with me? Why am I not having faith? They're getting healed and I'm not getting healed. And faith can hurt you. But love will never hurt you. As we sing this song, I want you to stand with me. We're going to sing, Love Lifted Me. The most unbelievable story is love.
I will.